Okay, last talk, Christian, on job-specific performance monitoring. Go ahead.
So hi everybody, welcome to this last session of this conference basically for us here in this room. I'm Christian Iwański. I'm a research software specialist or expert at TU Darmstadt. I'm a researcher, an HPC specialist, and today I'm presenting work that is a collaborative effort of many. In particular, this talk was submitted by people from the Friedrich Alexander University and TU Darmstadt, so that's me. And what am I going to talk about today? Well, first I'm going to introduce basically the basic question of why is job-specific monitoring something interesting? And I'm going to expand on the tools that were developed by basically the project partners, Cluster Cockpit and PathoJobs. And I'm going to talk a little bit about the user experience of these systems. So basically, who am I? I'm from TU Darmstadt. TU Darmstadt is one of the 9 NHR centers in Germany, which are like not the top tier, but also not the medium and lower tiers. It's like big HPC systems. In the order of magnitude, each system has 1,000 nodes. Each of the nodes has 100 cores. So we're talking about 100,000 cores in total. Each on average has 4 gigabytes of memory. And we have about 500 to 1,000 active users, give or take. The question is, classical monitoring by admins is on the system level. We see what each node is doing, whether or not the node is healthy. We see whether or not the hardware is operational. We see whether we're getting the performance that we paid for. But we also would like to see what are the users doing? Are the users actually making any meaningful use of the resources they occupy? Are they occupying all of the resources, or are they just allocating the resources and leaving them empty? We would like to know what is the limiting factor of those jobs that are running in our system? Is the memory bandwidth the limiting factor? Is the network card the limiting factor so we can do better procurements in the future? And then in the end, we still also would like to know how is the performance of those particular jobs doing? Are they running at peak efficiency? Are they doing the best they're doing? What is the software actually doing with the resources on the system, like hardware performance counters and so forth? And why is the software behaving as it is, as we can observe it? And classically, what we have is we have stuff like system monitoring here, where the admins have Grafana, they have big visualization boards where they can see all nodes are green, some nodes are yellow, some nodes are blue. What does that tell them? Well, it tells them stuff about nodes. Well, what we could do, we could go in and say, okay, who was on that node? Hopefully it was an exclusive job and nothing else was running. And then we can somewhat infer what that job was doing. That's somewhat in the direction of application monitoring. And then there is something in the bottom, what we HPC specialists do. We do performance analysis. We instrument, we profile, we modify the codes of the software to get as much information out of them so we can be enlightened of what is actually happening. But this middle region here is somewhat unsupported. Well, we can kind of infer stuff. We can mock up certain tools to bring us that information, but there wasn't anything on that particular level at the beginning when my colleagues and I started working on this problem. So what we came up is something, or mostly the people in Erlangen, I have to admit, came up is something called Cluster Cockpit. And Cluster Cockpit itself is, the idea is we are not tracking the whole cluster. We are tracking on the granularity of jobs. What does this then look like? Okay. Cluster Cockpit provides everyone who wants it, users, admin staff, supporters, with a graphical user interface where they can see what is running on the cluster. So you can scroll down, and for each job that is running on the cluster, we get one of those lines. Each of those lines then consists of configurable different metrics, like, for example, the first one here is the CPU utilization. Then we have memory here. Then we have the flops metric, so how many flops are the nodes in total doing, and how much memory bandwidth is consumed on those particular systems. So when looking at that overview, we can get a brief glimpse of, okay, what is the job doing? Is it using the resources? Is there anything amiss? we get additional information here in front. We get the username and not shown here, the username. So we can actually contact them in case we want to support them in some way or another. We can get some survey information. How many cores do they have? How many nodes do they have? When did it start? How long is the job running? Is it still running? Or is it a job from their past that I can potentially want to investigate? We can filter with different metrics like tags. How long did it run? So very configurable user interface. You can also click on any of those jobs and get even more detailed information. Like, for example, again, all of those metrics. You can have those metrics. You can scroll in on the metrics. You can select whether or not you want to have the metrics shown at the node level, at the core level, at the socket level. So various granularities. You can interactively browse your CPU, your cluster workload, but not on a node level, but on a job level. And in particular, something like these graphs here, maybe not as good visible here on the projector, where you have this kind of spider diagram where you can see, okay, how much of the memory is used on the system, how many flops are consumed from the computing, and how much memory bandwidth is consumed. And ideally, we would like to have a full triangle here because the job is churning out the maximum floating point operations, using all of the bandwidth and using all of the memory, and if you wanted, probably also all of the cores. A full system, great. Not that job isn't doing that. So we probably would like to investigate, and there's other metrics that you can support, like, for example, over here, this classical graph, the roofline graph that helps you assess whether or not your job is within boundaries. There are many other views, and I briefly want to just go over it because I'm not going to train you how to use Cluster Cockpit here. It's just give you a teaser of what the whole system is capable of doing. So you can also kind of open up for your user and then say, okay, how many jobs does a particular user have? What is the total wall time? And then you can configure also how much of these resources you want to see. Do you want to see how many flops he used? Whatever makes you happy. We go back briefly to the overview. We can also investigate what is the total use of a subcluster. Okay, this is something a little bit more in the direction of administrative stuff. How many nodes are actually allocated? What is the current flops rate in that cluster? Or what is the current memory bandwidth rate in the cluster? And this, again, can give us as system maintainers and maybe even as procurement people an idea of where we want to invest our money in the future. Because if we have a system and all our users are hardly making use of the floating point numbers and hardly using the memory bandwidth that the system is capable of delivering, why are we buying that expensive hardware? But again, this is an entirely different kind of worms, and this is an example. This is not actual real data. Might be, might not be, I don't want to tell. Again, you can also have different views, like, for example, who are the top users on certain clusters, what is the ratio, what is the average duration of the jobs, or how many nodes does that particular jobs have. So it gives you different views of what the cluster is doing. Okay, how does it do that? Well, it all starts with an entity that's called a metric store that is the short-term memory of the whole system. Usually you install that on a one particular node. It needs a lot of memory because it keeps all of the data you obtain on the cluster for the system to display you on a short-term notice. Then on each node, you install and start a metric collector. That's a little, I would call it service daemon, that starts on a configurable time level, like for example, every minute, every 5 minutes, every 10 minutes, and it collects whatever metrics you want it to use. In particular, what we are using is Liquid to gather hardware performance counters for the system. We use CPUSTAT to get, okay, what is the load on the system? We use MemSTAT to get information from memory. We use IBSTAT to get information from the InfiniBand card, but there's like, I think last time I counted was about 40 different interfaces that you could use to get information, even for GPUs, so how full is the GPU, what kind of GPU, tons of data. All of that is sent to the metric store. So you have a one, many-to-one or many-to-two communication, and the metric store keeps off that. That is a JSON communication. Then you have the backend that is responsible for showing you the nice user interface, this web-based user interface, and that queries this metric store for whatever it needs to display the view. But since you're interactively working with the system, that needs to be quick, so it's not on storage. What happens then? Once the job has passed in a certain point in time, usually at the end when the job terminates, the backend system takes all of the data that pertained to a particular job and dumps all of that into a job archive. This job archive is then the permanent record of what the job was like at this runtime. The metrics are resolved in time, so you have time series of all of the data and you can get that. How do you get that information? Well, that is the one thing that isn't by default enabled by the distribution. You have to write a little script that whatever batch system you're using, at the start and at the end of the batch job, you need to communicate, hey, my job ran on node 1, 2, and 3, and it had socket 1, 2, and 3 on node. So all of the data needs to be communicated to the backend system, so the backend system knows what kind of data to pull and put into the job archive. And in this case, there is a Slurm plugin, or not plugin, but a little Slurmcron job that checks every 5 minutes, okay, which jobs are there, which jobs aren't there anymore, and communicates all of that to the backend system. And then in the end, the user can log onto the backend system and whatever it wants to see, it can see. You optionally also can couple all of that with databases, time series databases, SQL databases, for whatever else you want to use it for. And this brings me now to the second point. Since this is now a very complicated system with lots of displays and lots of data, nobody actually wants to go through each job and assess whether or not that particular job was a good job. And for that reason, the colleagues and I, we went ahead and said, okay, can we automate this kind of checking by having a rule system that notifies us when certain boundaries or certain thresholds are violated? Basically, some form of automated alert, hey, a user here or there is doing a very bad job of using the resources that he should be using efficiently. So the idea there was, okay, how can we fit that in? Well, we use this cluster copy technology that we have. We write some form of rule mechanism that operates on each job archive and assesses whether or not that particular job is worthy or is, or not, well, worthy is maybe a wrong term, is good or bad. And what do these rules look like? Well, it is a practical system. It's not very sophisticated. It's basically, it's Python evaluated in JSON files. So what do we have here? Well, we have a tag or a description of what this is. In this case, this is a low CPU load. So when the CPU is not fully used, then that should alert us. The second part of that rule is, okay, we need some form of configurable threshold because we don't want to adjust all of these rules for each cluster that we might have. So this is from a configuration file. Here we say, okay, we want to have an alert if this goes below 90%, for example. And then this one specifies, okay, which metrics from the job archive needs the rule engine to pull the rule engine actually to evaluate. And then we have variables that are evaluated top to bottom, basically defining certain thresholds, being able to use all of the Python back math, whatever you want to use. And then in the end, we have some form of output trigger. In this case, once the low load is true, or above a certain threshold, then we consider that rule to have failed, and then we want to notify the user. And how do we do that? Well, there is what we call a template that is filled with the data that this rule kind of generated. And then what we do, initially we thought about sending emails to the user, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. But what kind of rules do we have at the moment? Well, we have low CPU load, we have low load imbalance, we have excessive CPU load, we have memory use problems, so a lot of different rules that help us kind of get a gist of what the users are doing wrong. A brief overview, so how did we fit that into the cluster cockpit setup? Well, we simply wrote a little script that whenever there's a job archive on the disk, a new job archive, we analyze that one and we put the information about that to the output. We deployed that in Darmstadt, in Erlangen, in Paderborn, and in Berlin. So there are 4 sites using this kind of mechanism at the moment, and we are still fiddling and adjusting it so it suits us best. But the key insight that we got is once we saw how many jobs actually had problematic behavior, it's like 50%, 20%, 30%, we kind of thought, no, we are not going to send emails. Because if you have a job load like what we have is like we have 250,000 jobs per month, sending 125,000 emails per month would make us email spammers, and we didn't want to do that. So we really never really implemented sending the emails. What we do at the moment, we have text files where this is dumped to that we then analyze as specialists, and we tag the jobs in the job archives so that the GUI, once it gets to the point, can actually display for each job also those kind of failed as metrics or failed rules that we have specified, so that when the user looks at his own jobs, he can get an assessment, okay, I'm doing a great job because there is nothing failed, or I'm doing a bad job of using the resources when there are lots of red flags at the top of his screen. Briefly commenting on the experience of how was this perceived, since I wasn't initially part of the Cluster Cockpit development team, I had the great honors of deploying that system at our university. And in principle, it is very easy to deploy. They have a Git website webpage, and there are binaries on the webpage that you can basically drop in if you trust the binaries. You can start the binaries, and everything is really easy. However, it gets a little bit trickier once you get to the point of that the system needs to know what kind of cluster you're running on. It doesn't magically infer what is the peak floating point capability of a particular CPU. It doesn't infer what kind of memory is there. There are tools in there that benchmark all of this stuff and put that into configuration files, but you still need to bundle it together in terms of, okay, I have a cluster, and in that cluster consists of two or three phases. Each phase has a different configuration, so you need to create a hierarchical structure, and for each of those you need to specify, okay, what is the peak performance that this has in all of the metrics you want to have evaluated. And then it gets a little bit more complicated because all of the three instances need to have this matching configuration. So for example, if the metric collector collects stuff that the metric store doesn't know about, the metric store just rejects the information and dumps it. So it doesn't pertain it. So the metric store needs to know which metrics to keep, ideally the one it gets from the nodes. And then the cluster cockpit backend also needs to know which metrics it can pull from the metric store. So at the moment, there is no automatism to couple all of these things together. It's multiple configuration files, and you need to have a little bit of discipline not to mess up the namings and whatnot, but once it gets started, it is fairly well to use. So in summary, a little bit of the challenge we are currently aiming to address, hopefully, is that all of these entities shown here have their own individual configuration files, and those configuration files need to match up. It's not comfortable at the moment, but it's doable. And as a last takeaway, and we have a little bit of time to spare in the end, I would consider Cluster Cockpit and PathoJobs as very powerful tools to have on your cluster, because on the one end, it enables you as a user, or it enables users to inspect and reflect on their jobs on a per job basis without having to do anything. They have the information, they can log onto the system, and they see their jobs, they can click on the jobs, they can see what the consumption of certain resources were, they can see whether or not they're using the memory, they can check on which cores did they run, did they leave some cores out, was their core mapping according to plan. So this kind of information is available for the users. For me, as an HPC support person aiming to improve the capabilities of our users, I can have a look at every user's job once configured with the right privileges, and then, for example, assess, okay, this user needs some, let's say, counseling in terms of how do you allocate your resources? How can you make sure your resources are actually used? And, for example, if I get tickets like, hey, my job ran very slowly, can you tell me what's going on? I can open Cluster Cockpit, go to the past, look at his job, and see, for example, oh, that one particular node, it had a cooling problem, and the CPU clocked down, because, again, I'm also tracking the clock rate that the CPU do over time, so I can match that with bug reports or tickets. So that helps me as a support users, and for the admin staff, they get a lot more information of what actually is used on the system, what the system is required, and what the users actually make use of. And that's the end of this presentation. I'm happy to answer any questions you may have and give my own user experience of the system. Thank you. So the question, then each section would get its individual metric store. And again, you could put some form of a hierarchy in there, but that is a manual process at the moment. And in particular, you need to be able to tell at the backend level, okay, if I'm on that node, I need to contact that metric store. And at the moment, this is done by ranges. So ideally, nodes 0 to 99 is metric store 1. 100 to 199 is metric store number 2. You need to have something like that. But since this is open source, you could go in and implement your own mapping strategy at your own risk.
More questions? So what you're doing here is effectively re-implemented Prometheus into Grafana. What was the motivation behind doing this from ground up? Why not just use Prometheus to collect the metrics for an exporter and then Grafana to show that to your end users?
So that was also one of the questions I asked those guys. And there's two answers. So the question is, why didn't we implement that using existing technology, Prometheus and Grafana? Answer number one, at least that's what I'm told, Grafana has a problem. How do you access user privileges? How do you infer, okay, this user is allowed to see only that fraction of jobs? That's what I'm being told. Again, that was mostly, so the counter answer is like, you can put in infrastructure in Prometheus and Grafana to mitigate that. And since Jan Eitzinger, the initial designer of Cluster Cockpit, is not here, I cannot answer that. However, from So let me rephrase the question. I hope I get it right. Did we validate our results with information from profiling on tracing runs? That's at the moment we have a bachelor thesis running, which is precisely doing that particular part of the validation part. So that the idea is that he goes in, submits jobs using classical performance analysis techniques like instrumentation or even benchmarks that we know from the validation phase of the cluster what the benchmarks produce in terms of data, and then we go back and see whether or not that information is actually depicted in the cluster cockpit itself. However, my intuition is, since both of them are using the same gathering techniques, like hardware performance data, it should be the same unless there is somewhere a software bug in the system where we just do gross mistakes and just use wrong data fields or whatever. But again, there is a thesis going on to validate that. And to be frank, since that system is in production at the moment at 4 HPC centers and we haven't seen anything overly strange, I would say we can say with some sense of confidence that it is working in a reasonable range. I can't say to what degree this is precise because, again, we are not doing anything particular to make it very precise, but it should, since we're sampling on a minute level, you don't see that much anyways. You can see a lot, but the fine detail that you see in, let's say, a good instrumentation for trade with, let's say, MPI calls in there and whatnot, that's not the level of granularity that the system is aiming for.
All right. Thank you, Christian.
There was
one more. Sorry. Yeah. One more.
Small question. Do you have an indication whether the system is more popular with users or with consultants?
Repeat the question.
So the question was, is the system more popular with the consultants or with the users? I have a problem of answering that. Because on the one hand, the consultants love it because they can see what the users are doing. the users are very appreciating when you get in contact with them and are actually able to show them what their jobs were doing. It's like, it's not anymore like, just believe me, I've seen this stuff and I have a screenshot here. It's like, here, log in, use your credentials. This is your job. You can browse it. You can analyze it. You can submit another job and compare that. That is a very powerful aspect. You can actually do side-by-side comparisons of your jobs as a user without having to know, how do I instrument my stuff? Where do I place the data? How do I use a data exploration system like Vampir? It makes things easier. And for that reason, I would say it's equivalent good for both sides. You're welcome.
That was really the last question. Yeah.